Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, verse 21. It's been 4 weeks since we've been in the book of Acts. The last 3 weeks we diverted from our Acts study to go over the videos that are posted on our website, linked to Brian Nichols' website, YouTube channel, actually, about the hydroplate theory, Dr. Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. And it continues to amaze me how people are talking about the flood of Noah. There's even secular scientists and researchers that are realizing the things that are being taught are not true. There's a book written recently by a guy who spent, over 1,000 days out on the ocean trying to get the scientific support for seafloor spreading and plate tectonics. And he's just written a book. It's garbage. There's no evidence to support it, etc. He's not a creationist. He's an evolutionist that was out there trying to support a theory that is broken. So once again, we can rest on the Word of God. We can trust in the fact that the creation was made, the world was made as God said, not the way the evolutionists say over time and chance and dust deciding to come together and become a planet and all this other stuff. We know the Bible is true, and there's plenty of evidence of that. But before we were into the hydroplate theory, we were in the book of Acts. And so 4 weeks ago, what happened is a Roman centurion who loved God, he wasn't a Christian, but he realized the God of the Jews is the real God. And he was reading, and he was friendly to the Jews. And the Jews respected him because of his friendliness. And he was just seeking God one day in prayer. An angel appears to him and says, well, what you need to do is send some men to go to seek for Peter, who's staying in Joppa. And he will come and tell you what you need to know. And so shortly after that happens, because it's a 2-day trip from Caesarea down to Joppa by foot. And so Peter is out on the roof, and all of a sudden he gets a vision from God to say, hey, come, different unclean animals are coming down on a sheet, and Peter's told, rise up and eat. Oh, God, I can't do that. That's unkosher. I'm not going to eat that unkosher stuff. Never have. And so the vision happens 3 times, and where God concludes, what I have called kosher, don't call unkosher. What I've called clean, don't call unclean, which we're going to find out. The meaning of it, the way it came into Peter's mind is, I've called Gentiles, especially Roman centurions, unclean, not to be associated with. And God is telling me I'm supposed to go with these Gentiles. I'm supposed to go with them. And without that vision, Peter might have said, no, you're a Gentile. I'm not going to go with you. If you want to come and listen to the gospel, you can become a Jew. And then after you become a good Jew, we'll let you be a Christian. That's what would have happened. That's what Jews were thinking needed to be done until this point, 10 years after Jesus has ascended into heaven. So in Acts chapter 10, verse 21, the men have just showed up from Cornelius at the door of Simon the Tanner's house. And Peter went down to the men from the roof. He went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So again, this vision's come, and he's decided, okay, I'll go with you. Come on in. You Gentiles, come in and eat with us Jews, which, again, they would never have done. So God has given him this vision to say, Peter, things are changing. The dispensation is changing. You don't get to God through Jewishness. You get to God straight through Jesus. It's now going to be the new dispensation of God's handling salvation for mankind. And it's amazing to me how many, even Christians, are starting to become so Jewish that they they're making it seem like you got to be Jewish to have a right relationship with Jesus. Do you have to be Jewish to be having a right relationship? No, all you have to do is believe and trust in the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. That's what we do. And as soon as you've done that, by faith, trusted in Jesus, you're saved. And there's nothing wrong with respecting Jewishness and understanding how the Jewish rituals and feasts and everything else pointed us to Jesus. But to feel like you have to be Jewish to be right with God is completely contrary to what we're going to see from now on in the book of Acts. I mean, everything else in the book of Acts is a testimony to you get straight to God through Jesus Christ, no passing through being a Jew. That's the rest of the Bible. Verse 24, and the following day they entered Caesarea, because it would have taken 2 days, so they camped someplace, then went the next day to Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. You know, two things to say about this is, now Cornelius can't possibly know exactly when they're going to get there because, you know, they're traveling by foot, all these other things. And now think of the anticipation. Cornelius has been visited by an angel. That angel tells him, go look for a guy, Peter. And he is in total anticipation that that was truly from God. And if God said to do it, then whoever this Peter guy is going to be found. He is going to be getting here, and it should take, my guys, 2 days to get there, 2 days to come back. And so he has his whole family, and they go, how long do we have to wait? I don't know. We don't have cell phones yet. We don't have any technology. I know, but there is nothing more important than hearing what this man is going to come and say, because this is from God himself. Can you imagine the don't you wish people that anticipate a relationship with God like that today? That nothing else matters than to hear from God or God's ambassador. So then it says, Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Now, if Peter was the first pope, what's he going to do? Bless you, my son. Give me some money. You're great. You got a baby I can kiss. And send into heaven. So what does Peter say? He basically screams, I'm not the Pope. There is no Pope, he's saying. But Peter lifted him up saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Just a man. We're all just a man. Just a man. And how tragic it is that people will bow in front of anybody and that anybody lets them bow before them. Because there's going to be judgment for that. Because God Almighty is alone to be bowed to and venerated and honored. And what Peter is saying, you can bow in respect to somebody, and that's okay. But it's when, obviously, Peter understood, there's a whole lot more than that. Don't get me confused with that angelic visitation and somehow I'm God that's coming to tell you these things. You Romans think all kinds of strange things about your gods and your visitation of the gods. But I am not God. He was worshiping Peter as God, as if he was God's representative. Verse 27, and as he talked with them, he went in and found many who had come together. They're all waiting. And encouraged them all to listen to this man of God that's coming in. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Isn't it neat how the Lord can speak to us through his word to change? You know, now it's the Bible. But then, Peter was a good Jewish man. And God says, yeah, Peter, but you've been trained in Jewishness and I'm going to do things differently. And God doesn't call us to do something without giving us clear direction. And because he knew Peter would have been, I'm not going to come. I'm not allowed. It's illegal to go into a Gentile man's house or to allow Gentiles to come into my house or to eat with them. But God has told me that's different. Too bad there's people that would profess to know Jesus would say, oh, you know, you black people, you're really not human beings. You're my property. Wasn't that tragic? Because the word of God was there to say, excuse me, but God is not a respecter of persons, and red and yellow, black and white. And we're going to find out what Peter says is God has shown me that he has opened the door to all. And et cetera, et cetera. And so we need to know the Word of God, and we need to let the Word of God change us. We don't change the Word of God to fit our needs. And see, Peter said, God changed my thinking with His Word. And that's what God is trying to do to us all the rest of our life. From the time that we become saved, He's trying to change the way we think to be the way He thinks. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? Now, the other neat thing about this is God had told him, go with them, given him the vision to let him know he's supposed to go with them, but he didn't know where to go. He knew where when they told him, but he didn't know why. Because God will tell you to take step one, and by faith you take step one, when you need to take step two, He gives you step two. Amen? And isn't that, Abraham, leave your country and your brethren and go. Where to? Tell you later. Abraham and Isaac, we're talking about. Go into my relative area up in Syria and find Isaac a wife. Well, how will I know? God will show you. Just go. I just know I don't want him from here. I don't want a wife for my son from here. Just go. And we have to understand that to walk with God by faith, sometimes you don't know the final destination. You just got to take a step and move. And that's what he did. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Now we already know, who was it that stood before him? An angel. So what is he saying now? A man. An angel that looked like a man. And every single time in the Bible, angels, when they materialize, they look like men, they don't look like women ever. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. So clearly, God hears prayers of contrition to God from the pagan. And it's like God is saying, I'm answering your prayer, because obviously Cornelius is not totally depraved. I mean, everybody would have to agree he's not saved yet, because he hasn't even heard the gospel. He's not saved, but he's not totally depraved. He's not like the other centurions. The other centurions aren't praying to God. They want to get rid of the Jews, a lot of them. Maybe the centurion at the cross, maybe something happened to him. But see, again, the Calvinism teaching is that everybody's depraved. This account of Cornelius' conversion is completely contrary to the doctrines of Calvin. And because God responded to him because Cornelius sought God. And Calvinism says man's depraved, he can't seek God. Well, obviously he's seeking God, and God saw that he was seeking him. And so when God saw he's seeking me, and I'm going to go answer his prayer. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Now, what has Peter been commanded by God to do? Spread the gospel. Teach the gospel. So, okay, I didn't know what God was telling me to do. What am I supposed to do here? You're supposed to teach me something that God's told you to teach. So then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality to human beings from now on. There's no partiality. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. He wants all people to be saved. He shows no partiality. Although there's the chosen people, the Jews, pertaining to the land of Israel, the Jews are the promised people and the only people to be saved, because, that's gone. That's gone. This is a whole new change. Peter is saying, I now in truth realize something new has just come. No one's excluded from the gospel, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Because if you fear God, you're going to come to him, aren't you? It's the people who don't fear God. They think they can blaspheme him and use his name in vain and disobey his commandments, and they don't care. They don't want to listen to anybody tell them any different. There's no fear of God. But if you fear God, you're going to seek God, because you're going to humble yourself and realize he's in charge of my eternal destiny. Whoever fears will come to God. And again, it doesn't say that God makes him fear him. The scriptures are saying that he just had a fear of God. He was different than the other Gentiles. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. So, Peter is saying, you can have peace with God, but only through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And so I think Peter is realizing this centurion's been in town for a while. And he's saying, you know this. Jesus was here. And he started his ministry in Galilee, which Caesarea is part of Galilee. And all the miracles that he performed, everything that he was doing, ever since John came to preach. And what did John preach? Repentance. And I continue to have discussions with people saying, hey, you know, the repentance is not part of the gospel. And I just say, Jesus sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. What was John the Baptist's message? You repent. He didn't say, he said, repent and you must follow the one who comes after me, whose sandals I'm not worthy to loose. So if Jesus himself is the one that sent John the Baptist in fulfillment of prophecy that there would be a forerunner to the Messiah, and his message was repentance, don't you think that our message should be to somebody, you need to repent? You need to repent to come to Jesus. Because if you don't repent, all sin is rebellion against God. Oh, I want to be saved. Can I still rebel against God? Can you say, I want to rebel against God, but I want to be saved? No, we have to stop a rebellion against God. We have to say, well, he's Lord, I'm not. Whatever he said, I'm willing to let whatever he says be what rules my life. That's repenting of our rebellion against God. So what do I do for all the sins I've already committed against him? Oh, there's Jesus. And Jesus is there. He's died on the cross, took the place so he can forgive you and you can have everlasting life and your sins can be washed away. And, oh, wow. That's what causes true salvation. There's a guy that I go swim with. He's a Catholic guy. And he writes blogs. And this one I decided to read. I told him I don't read them because they're not very biblical. I told him that. But he told me the other day in the locker room, he goes, I got another one coming. It's about what happens after death. And so I sat down and I read it today. And I had to shoot it back to him. And I had to say, okay, I told you I don't normally read them because of this, but this one I read, I'll call him Joe. Joe, I'm really concerned for you. Because what you just told everybody is universalism. Everybody dies and goes to heaven. Everybody's going to be okay. No, nothing about repentance. Nothing about you must believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing. It's like everybody's going to heaven. And I said, universalism, and you know that that's not the same that the gospel that the apostles taught. And you know what Paul says about that. Because he is learning. He knows the scriptures. What does Paul say? Paul says, if somebody teaches another gospel, what? Let him be accursed. You know, I love you, Kevin. It's so tragic that people today, there's so many people that are saying, God, show me, tell me, I know I messed up and I want to come to you. And yet, who is around to tell them the gospel that Peter and Paul preached anymore? It's almost gone. And I know that guy. He says he's a Christian. I'm going to go ask him. Oh, well, you know, Jesus died. So as soon as we die, we get to go to heaven. I don't have to do it. He loves you and just die and you go to heaven. How tragic it's going to be that there's going to be a bunch of Corneliuses that were seeking God. And because the church has let down Jesus on the gospel, he commanded us to preach without compromise, is now almost non-existent in the world today. It's going to be something. So, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And that word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And by implication, if you don't believe, what? If you don't believe and trust in him, you do not have the remission of sins. That's what we have to tell people. You have to believe. And now, and Peter is emphasizing through his name. And that's an important thing in Greek, because in Greek, Jesus' name is Yeshua, or actually, the Hebrew name is Yeshua, but it, which means God's salvation. And the Greek was, had the same meaning. God's salvation is what the name meant. So in other words, you have to believe that God ordained, anointed, Messiah'd Jesus to be the way for the remission of sins, because his name means God's salvation. This is the way to be saved from your dilemma of sin. And if you believe in him, then you will receive the remission, forgiveness of sins. If you don't, then you won't get remission of sins. And again, Peter is teaching something that had not been taught by any Jews to Gentiles ever before this time. He's the first one saying that, as I'm preaching this, that this is all you have to do is believe in Jesus. Before that, it was the gospel was going out to the Jews. Hey, we're Jews, we're God's promised people, Jesus is our Messiah, and we believe, they're baptized on the day of Pentecost, thousands, they're all Jews that are being saved. While Peter was still speaking, verse 44, these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Now, what does it mean the Holy Spirit fell on them? Did some sign say Holy Spirit just fell down on them? Can you see the Holy Spirit falling on them? What was the way they knew the Holy Spirit fell on them? They started speaking in tongues. They started speaking in languages they did not know, which we're going to find out is more clear in a following verse. But they say later on, Peter says later on in chapter 11, that it fell on them like it fell on us in the beginning. Well, what happened in the beginning? On the day of Pentecost, when it fell on them, they spoke in tongues. So all of a sudden, Peter's just preaching. He gets to the punchline of the gospel. Obviously, the hearts of the people are receiving everything he said. They've already been contrite by Cornelius's leading. Hey, we're supposed to hear from God. I had an angel from God visit me, and we're supposed to listen to what this man says. And realizing that we're in trouble with sin, we fear God, and we're troubled because we're sinners. And so when their heart is receiving the truth of what Peter is preaching, the Holy Spirit falls on them. And they start speaking in tongues for reasons that we'll explain later on, that the scriptures make clear. Speaking in languages they did not know. Now, a lot of people will say, well, you know, tongues, that was only for back then because they used it to preach the gospel. See, on the day of Pentecost, there was all those people with all those other languages, and they needed to have the gift of tongues so that they could preach the gospel to all those different languages that were there on that day. Is that true? No, because you go to Acts chapter, you go to 2nd chapter Acts, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the people said, hey, we're Cappadocians, and this, and this, and this, and this. And we hear them proclaiming the wonderful works of God. They didn't say, we're having them teach us what we need to do to repent and be saved. They said, we hear them proclaiming the wonderful works of God. So when the Holy Spirit came upon them to speak in unknown languages, they were singing praises to God. They were just glorifying him and testifying of him in a language that they did not know. And we're going to find out that's exactly what happened here. Because are these guys preaching to Peter? Why would the gift of tongues fall on them to preach the gospel because there's foreign languages in the area? No. So this was, God was using this gift to demonstrate that he is now saving uncircumcised people. So, Holy Spirit fell on those who had heard the word, and those of the circumcision, meaning the Jews that were Christians with Peter. That's what it means by circumcision, because the non-Jews were not circumcised. in those days at all. Those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How could this be? We know that something powerful came upon us from God himself on the day of Pentecost. How could God do that to an uncircumcised Gentile Roman centurion? Because he feared God and loved him. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnify God. That's the point that I wanted to make. It didn't say heard them speaking in tongues preaching the gospel. They heard them speaking in tongues magnifying God. And the reason that's important, I grew up in the times where Pentecostalism was just taking off, and Calvary Chapel was bringing in people in San Diego, were bringing in people to teach on the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know anything. I knew nothing. What's speaking in tongues and everything? I was just a young believer, and so it was taught. This man was teaching from the pulpit there in Calvary San Diego about the Holy Spirit and interpretation of tongues and everything, and he was explaining how it's not going to be something about sharing the gospel. It's going to be glorifying God. And so then a guy just stood up and went into speaking in tongues, and hundreds of people there, and just stood up and interrupted and spoke in tongues. And so then the guy that was giving the sermon says, go ahead, sit down, we'll do it at the end. There was an interpretation and stuff. And he goes, wait a second, God told me to do that. I was supposed to do that. And he was explaining that, you know, God has put me up here to explain the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I don't believe that God interrupts himself. Doesn't that kind of make sense? So why is God going to have the Holy Spirit come and just completely interrupt a service at the same time that God is causing him to teach about tongues? And I'm going to just say, I could go on and on and on and on with the stories that I've seen and witnessed over the years. But to the point where I'd say, forget tongues completely, because there's such chaos and confusion that can occur. But God can use it. And see, now, in this case, God is doing something extremely important. Gentiles can get saved straight by believing in Jesus. What sign could he have given to Peter? There's many gifts of the Holy Spirit. How about the gift of giving? If Peter would have said, oh, they all feel like giving. So certainly they're all saved. No, it had to be something dramatic. It had to be something the same they experienced, something that even they knew that we didn't learn these languages, but we spoke the language and these people understood us, and the same thing happened to them. So that it had to be a gift that allowed that to happen, and God can use the gift of tongues in whatever way, God would have people for it to be used to his glory today. So most tongues I've seen is all charade, but sometimes it's from God. And just be willing to be open to that instead of thinking they're all crazy. Right? Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that they should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So, hey, they're saved. And because they feared God, they listened to the message of the gospel about repenting and turning to faith in Jesus Christ, and God demonstrated to us that he filled them with the Holy Spirit in the same way he did us. There is nothing left for them but to be baptized, to be totally immersed in the name of the Lord. Now, other play again, the apostolics, they say, unless you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, because most of the times it says in the name of Jesus, but here it says in the name of the Lord. And it's not the words that come out of the person being baptized. It's meaning in the name, it's meaning in the authority of the name of Jesus and what he came to do to change what it takes to be saved. Different than being baptized to go to the Jewish temple and sacrifice animals. That was the baptism before Jesus came. Then there was a baptism of repentance. You have to be totally immersed into the idea of repentance before you come to Jesus. And now, if you're going to come to Jesus, you're totally immersed in Jesus to be saved. So you had to get immersed to go to the temple, sacrifice an animal, do the Jewish thing. So it was saying, It's a different baptism. It's the baptism of Jesus. It's in the baptism in the name of Jesus, God's salvation. God's salvation comes through what Jesus did for us on the cross. Verse 11. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea, down in Jerusalem, heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went into an uncircumcised men and ate with them?" Now at this point, Peter took his Pope saber and wiped them all out. Now, I mean, again, I'm being somewhat crass here, I'm sorry, except for it needs to be so blunt these days to realize that they're rebuking Peter. Now, is that possible if he was supposed to be, as Bible Study Fellowship taught 2 years ago in Matthew, going through Matthew, that most likely Peter was the first representative of the church, which they have since said that was a mistake and they're going to fix it in the curriculum after I wrote a letter. The heresy that's there. Catholicism is not Christianity. Everybody agrees with that? And we've got to help our Catholic brothers and sisters lovingly. Like I said in my email, I love you, man. I'm only telling you this because I love you and this is so important. It's the truth. You have to turn away from all the doctrines, including the fact that the Catholic Church is starting to go into a universalist mindset. You can be a good Muslim. As long as you're a good Muslim, you're okay. They're even violating their own historical doctrine because the whole world is going under the sway of the wicked one to become this global, setting up for the global religion of the Antichrist, which everything goes as long as you're not saying that your way is the only way. It's not our way. But we know whose way it is. It's Jesus' way. Is Jesus' way the only way? Yes. And we agree with Jesus because he's the apostle of our faith. He is our high priest. And we're his ambassadors. So we have to say what he says. Otherwise, we're fighting him about what we should be telling people. And I'd rather not do that. I hope you would not like to do that either. And so, hey, you went and ate with these guys. Peter, you're in trouble. You have to answer for this. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house." So he has six Jewish brethren with him in Jerusalem that are standing before the council of this inquiry against Peter for what he's done. And it's probably James, the half-brother of Jesus, the one who wrote the epistle of James, that's probably the one in charge because he's in charge later on in the book of Acts. And he's the one calling Peter on the carpet. He goes, "These guys were here. They saw everything that happened. And this vision was telling me I should go with these Gentiles." And again, he says, "The Spirit told me." I want you all to be open to the Holy Spirit whispering to you. If he does, if it's the Holy Spirit, it's going to be in accordance with his word. It's going to be telling you what, in accordance with what God has said. But there are times Jesus, just like Mike was sharing, Jesus somehow speak to me about what I'm really supposed to do about the sale of my house. And then all of a sudden you can just, he gets led to talk about a friend he hasn't even talked to for 2 years. And then he inspires somebody else. "Hey, calls, inspires the friend, hey, why don't you call Mike right now? Oh, how come I just thought of Mike? Well, because the Holy Spirit was saying, call Mike. Why? I don't know. I'm just going to just be obedient. Call Mike. And then all of a sudden, put it together. You know, well, again, we'll see what happens. But see, that's the kind you have to understand. The Holy Spirit can lead us and whisper to us when we're attentive to Him and we're walking with Him and we're walking in His Word to give us great wisdom. And He told us how He had seen an angel standing in His house, who said to Him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. See, you and your household are going to get saved if you listen to this guy. You're worried about your condition as a Roman centurion and the sins you've done and the worshiping of idols you've done and all this other stuff. You read the Bible and, boy, you worship idols, you die. You're rebelling against the God of Israel. Us Romans, we have idols. We have the Greek idols. We have Roman idols. We have idols out our ears. And I've done it. Certainly, in the culture, he would have done it. Why do I have to do it? Go find from Peter and you can be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning, exactly like it had fallen upon them. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? What an awesome statement, huh? Hey, if God is doing something new here, then who are we to resist? When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. So there again, James and the church there in Jerusalem is saying, okay, because they've repented and are listening to the gospel, God is giving them life directly from Gentilehood to salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. The salvation doors are wide open. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I hope and pray everyone here in this room just would love to come to you and say, God, I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of your gifts. I need more of that still small voice. I pray you'd make the Word of God more alive in my heart and to trust in you more. And God, that we could just be used powerfully to share the gospel with those who are lost, the gospel that Paul and Peter preached. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Worship God in this closing song.
Hallelujah, Maranatha, pray my Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, pray my Lord. Hallelujah, Maranatha, pray my Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, pray my Lord. Lift your hands and let His healing power restore you. Lift your hands and let His blood remove all wrong. Lift your hands and let His Holy Spirit fill you. And begin to worship Jesus with a song. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Lord. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Lord. Lift your hands and let His healing power restore you. Lift your hands and let His blood remove all wrong. Lift your hands and let His Holy Spirit fill you. And begin to worship Jesus with a song. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Lord. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Jesus. Hallelujah, Maranatha, praise my Lord.
Yeah, amen. So, God bless you and enjoy your fellowship until we can fellowship together again. Amen.